about crypto, which way to go, me right info, I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it, technology on the move, we ride.
Welcome back to episode 11 of Crypto Junkies Podcast. This is your host, Ragnar4.
Havoc. Thunder Monkey.
Yeah, so this is a spectacular start of the week, or end of the week, actually, on Sunday. And myself and Alexis, we actually went to VCon, and we got to enjoy some great stuff. We're going to be talking about that towards the end of the episode, because we know if we talk about VCon at the start, that's probably going to take up the whole episode.
Exactly.
So let's go over some other stuff, things that have been going on in the market, and I want to start and sharing the mic with my homie, Thunder Monkey. Here you go, brother.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? So crypto has been real hectic these past few weeks. I don't know if you guys would consider us being in a bear market. I guess we're safe to say at this point that we're actually in 100% for sure a bear market. Crypto's down like 50%, right?
Yeah.
Ethereum's 50%, everything. Bitcoin might be like 30% from its all-time highs. But everything's dropped down. I don't know. I'm pretty sure the whole world knows about this. It's been talked about on the news, and it's been discussed on Twitter and social media. Luna Coin has crashed. I know we're a little late on it. It happened like last week, but I think it's good that we're bringing it to your attention.
Yeah, so let's talk about Luna, right? Luna is a stable coin, right? And that is a type or a version of cryptocurrency. And so what a stable coin is that it is a one-to-one relationship to the US dollar. For one Luna, it is one US dollar, right?
Right. Yeah, and thank you for taking care of the technical side of it, because I suck at that part. I just know like an overall view, but I feel like it's a very great learning experience that this happened. I know a lot of people lost a lot of money, a lot,
right?
Like from 2 million to like nothing, like $600 or like nothing. But I really think that this teaches people that you really need to pay attention of who's creating this. Right. And also, because what I think is that people need to pay attention to what happened here with this product, with this coin. And it's very important that we learn from it. And the reason is that people didn't know that people can actually manipulate the market in this way, in this manner. So now that you are aware that people are manipulating and they can take advantage of something like this, you know that your money is not safe in all these crypto coins.
Right. I wanted to make 2 points. The first point I wanted to make is that the perception of cryptocurrency is that it's very volatile, right?
Correct.
But the idea of stable coins like Tether, USDT, USDC, Luna, is that you're still in the crypto market while not having that volatility, right? The idea of one Luna being one US dollar, the idea of one USDT is one US dollar, the idea that one USDC is one US dollar, right? So you have all your money in the crypto market and you're just waiting for an opportunity to buy into something, into Ether, into Bitcoin, into etc., right? So the perception of these stable coins is that it is the most safest way to put your money. But what happened to Luna? Lost 99% of its value as a stable coin. That's insane,
bro. That shit's crazy, bro. How much was lost on Luna? So it's crazy. I typically keep these guys updated in the mornings. I wake up 5:30 in the morning, go take my daily routine, and I saw Luna was like at 91 cents, and I'm like, whoa, like this is unusual for a stable coin to get down that low at 91 cents. So Luna's supposed to be pegged to the US dollar, like Havoc was saying. And I started seeing it go down. It went from 91 cents to 80 cents to 70 cents, and then it just continued to free fall. And then the guys over there at Luna were trying to keep it stable, trying to add more money to it. That way it was able to go up in price, but it just continued to fall the whole time.
So I just looked it up. At its all-time high, the market cap for Luna was $2.5 billion. It is currently worth $70 million, losing 95%+ of its total value. And once again, it just goes to show that in the crypto market, everything's still relatively new, and it's vulnerable to manipulation. which is exactly what happened in this situation where investors, I'm not too entirely sure who not the protagonist, what's the opposite of protagonist?
Antagonist
was in this situation, but someone shorted Luna. Is that a right interpretation of what happened?
Right. So there was, I'm guessing something in the contract didn't make sense or wasn't actually programmed the correct way. So someone who is very smart and who is, just very adequate and smart at the Web3 space, the programmer, like coding, they were able to take advantage of it. And they literally, like, I'm pretty sure they made a bunch of money, but in doing so, lost a lot of people their money. And it falls on the creator, you know. What's his name? Is it Kwon Do? Kwon Do, and they actually came out with, well, he came out, it's a little bit ridiculous. It sucks for the people who lost their money, because the people who lost are also people like us, you know, people who kept going into the market, but a different type of sector of the market, and who were maybe regular retail investors who, like, okay, this is a stable coin. Let me get in this early because they're doing all these things and they're promising all these things. And I think that it's going to be good, but then it turns out that the contract, the programming, the coding wasn't good, and it got exploited, and they lost all their money because of Kwon Do. And then he released like a second version, like a Terra 2.0.
Oh, he did that?
Yeah, to try and, like, you know, get people, investors back in and all this other stuff, because he has to try and save face because he's doxxed, so everyone knows exactly what he looks like and who he is, so... his reputation is burnt. It's done. So a lot of people might not give him an opportunity if he goes, like, you know, with his public brand. He might have to be, like, undoxed and working on the side to ever get back into something like that again. And even the Terra 2.0, the second version, it dropped like 80% on the first day. So it did not work out.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. So he did release that 2.0 version, and it's already down 70%. So that perception of anything that John, what's his name?
Kwon Do
does is like, it's done. It's over. His name, his brand is just done.
And it's crazy. There's a bunch of like influencers and YouTubers you'll see throughout Twitter. And there's this one specifically that I consistently watch. It's called the Coin Bureau. And he was upset because he apparently lost a lot of money in that Luna crash, and apparently a lot of people have lost millions in that. KSI. KSI lost $2 million on that. I mean, dude, it sucks. I mean, imagine you invest. A lot of these people have millions of dollars, but still seeing, you know, your assets go down like that, I'm pretty sure it's hard to watch.
Well, I have a question for y'all, and hopefully y'all can answer it, because I genuinely don't know the answer. The two stable coins I've always put my money in is USDC and USDT. Why would anyone choose Luna? Why does that even exist?
They were offering staking. So you were getting like 20% in return, and I think that's where the algorithm kind of screwed everybody over. So you're like, you're staking, you're getting 20% returns. Mm-hmm. For the most part, like, that's too good to be true most of the time. A lot of times crypto is just like 5%, 10% annual returns, APR, stuff like that.
Hashtag it's rare.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's safe to say, though, I mean, yeah, so it's safe to say that, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. My advice, not financial advice, DCA into what you like. I DCA into ADA because I fucking love ADA and Charles Hoskinson. I think this guy is phenomenal, and ADA is a work in progress. I know a lot of other people are in Ethereum, Bitcoin.
Can you explain what DCA is for the audience?
Yeah, DCA is pretty much dollar cost average into whatever asset you want to purchase. So, for instance, if you want to put in $5 a day into a cryptocurrency or any sort of asset, even a stock, you just dollar cost average. That way you don't lose as much money.
And for the audience that doesn't understand why DCAing is important, the reason behind that is that in the stock market historically, as long as you put money in there on a consistent basis without timing the market, you will always be ahead compared to people who try to time the market and end up losing. So in this bear market where everything is down, just put money in there, because the assumption is that we're in a bear market and it will go up at a certain point. Yeah?
Yeah, true. Yeah, so there's some very attractive deals out there again. And right now, because of the bad things that are happening in the economy, it's a little difficult for regular investors to be like, to buckle down and be like, all right, I'm going to start putting in a lot, because a lot of it we already put in, you know. So this is kind of where very experienced investors are waiting for a huge dip, and they're just saving their assets. So when it comes, they're able to go all in and then very, you know, like diamond hand and hold for a while. But let's talk about some things that I think could be some good investments. Just, you know, not financial advice. You have to research this by yourself. But I remember that we invested in Crow, which is Kronos, crypto.com's coin. Obviously, they have had some changes in their structure and how everything is going as far as the rewards. But last time we bought it at around 12 cents, 13 cents. And right now, it's hovering at 16 to 17 cents. So when we invested 4,000 at 12, 13 cents, there was a rise up to 90 something cents. And most of us made close to $30,000 or more yep. on that investment. So here we go again. Crow is at 16, 17 cents. It's looking mighty good to buy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, not financial advice, but I mean, let's be real. Crypto.com is the biggest name outside of Bitcoin and Ethereum. They've invested $1 billion in advertising Crypto.com. It is the most mainstream name out there right now. And if it's at 16 cents... it's a buy for me. It's 100% a buy for me, not financial advice. But the last time I bought at this price point, I made $30,000, which I flipped into buying a duplex. So not financial advice.
Yeah. So you know, still at this Luna thing, you know, are we going to be expecting any regulations to be happening with the governments now? What do you think?
Absolutely. I think congressmen, I think the U.S. government is itching to regulate this. There's a lot of scams. There's a lot of deregulation. It's the wild, wild west out there. They're trying to regulate it, make money off of it like any government wants to. And they just want to take control over something that they don't currently have control over. What that would look like, I'm not too entirely sure, but I know that they're itching to make a move.
Yeah, so Charles Hoskinson from ADA actually met with the U.S. officials this past, like, a few days ago, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And, I mean, that, you know, that shit's made me really bullish, man. I've always been big into ADA, and I know people were talking down on it, and they still talk down on it. But I think ADA still definitely has a bright future ahead for them. They're just phenomenal crypto. I love listening to Charles Hoskinson on his YouTube. I'll sit there for hours listening to his videos, and he definitely intrigues me on what he talks about.
ADA is Cardano, right?
Cardano, yeah, Cardano.
Yeah, and the thing I like about Cardano, and I'm totally with you, is that they rely their whole philosophy on their cryptocurrency based on certain principles, the idea of being regulated, deregulated, the idea of finding efficiency or optimizing ADA, the idea of using peer-reviewed methods and using scientists to identify the best way to do anything, right? So, yeah, you have all these other cryptocurrencies that tells you what you want to hear, which, you know, pumps them. But the thing about ADA is that they rely solely on their principles. And if you believe in those principles, then you know that they will do good long-term. So I agree. ADA is a really good move.
Yep. It's very cheap right now. ADA, Crow or, you know, Kronos. What else is pretty cheap right now?
Everything's
on sale. Everything's 50% off.
Well, here's the headline for y'all. Bitcoin has been down for the past 9 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
The last time this happened, the record was 6 weeks in a row. And that was back when the first crypto winter happened, where Bitcoin just fucking crashed, right?
Yeah. I think, obviously, there's a lot of people that are selling right now, and that's really affecting the market. And I also think that it could be whales that are manipulating the market, but it could also just be retail investors who who, because of this economy right now, are not willing to risk losing it all because they might actually need to start tapping into those funds now because the way that the economy is, like, people in sales jobs, I'm in a sales job. My sector was affected by this whole recession, everything that's going on. So I'm not selling as much. I'm not making as much from my sector. So people are probably starting to struggle and realize that if their shit goes to zero in the virtual and the Web 3.0 world, their actual real world will start to suffer where now they're going to be in some shit.
Absolutely. And there's definitely some FUD. There's some fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the crypto market. And that, just exactly how you said, all these retail investors who maybe were interested in being involved in the crypto NFT space are starting to back out and, you know, putting their money in, exactly how you said, in their real world application rather than putting it in crypto and NFTs. So
yeah, no, I mean, that's true. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with the economy right now. Everyone's scared of a recession coming upon us. And, you know, they've discussed that, you know, Walmart has been down in sales and Target has been down in sales. They have a fuckload of stock of items.
That's a crazy metric. One of the craziest metrics to identify whether a recession is going to happen is identifying how much inventory these mega, you know, corporations have. And Walmart has the most inventory they have ever had, ever.
Yeah, which is...
because they can't sell that shit.
It's scary, dude.
Real quick, like, even Pokemon cards now, like, that market was booming during these last 2 years. That shit has dropped like 50 to 60% in value, Pokemon cards. And also before, you would struggle to find your Pokemon cards and anything Pokemon at Walmart or at retail, at Target, because it was all being bought out by all these people that were flipping it. And now every time you go, it's full.
I mean, definitely the markets themselves were inflated. It was all just hype. It was a hype train during the pandemic.
Right.
Like, everything dumped at first because nobody knew what was going to happen during the pandemic. And then all of a sudden, fucking GameStop, you know, well, all those stocks pumped. And the market was just going for a bull run. And it was just nonstop. Yeah. Like, everybody was getting stimulus checks. We got three stimulus checks. Yeah. And everyone just throwing that shit to the stock market.
Oh, absolutely.
Dogecoin, trying to make money off of it. But, I mean, the way I do it is, like, I put $10 a day in ADA. I'm like, all right, I'm going to put, you know, I go out to eat for lunch. So I don't go out to eat for lunch, but let's say I'm like, all right, I'm going to go out to eat lunch. Instead of going to eat a lunch, I put $10 towards ADA.
Yeah.
Because if I lose that $10, I'm not really going to feel it because, I mean, it would have just been a meal for me that I, you know, would have just shit out the next day. So
that's smart, bro. I really like that. And also, that's perfect for me because right now I've been practicing fasting. So I don't eat until like 4 or 6 o'clock. So instead of eating, I should just invest more into crypto.
Yeah, definitely agree. Going back to kind of what you were saying is like, what are good buys right now? I think we're all in agreement that everything is on discount right now. Bitcoin, Ethereum, ADA, Cardano, CRO is just, you know, if you could dollar cost average, do it.
Yeah, you could definitely stake your tokens. Well, so, you know, I guess let's go on to another topic. Let's get into NFTs. I mean, how's OpenSea been doing on NFTs? I've seen they had a large volume a few weeks ago, actually. Probably one of their highest grossing volumes in a while. There's a project that came out a few days ago. There's actually a bunch of free mints coming out. There was a free mint called Goblins dot what the fuck. And those guys right now are sitting like at a 2.7 ETH floor, which if you consider all things considered, 2.7 ETH is only like $4,000. It's like 4,500 opposed to when Ethereum was at $3,000 to $4,000. It would have been sitting at like almost $10,000 floor. Yeah. So, you know, everything's, I don't know, gone down pretty consistent in price.
That's one thing that I don't think has changed in the space is that there's always going to be opportunity, but it's up to you as the individual to put in that work and to try, you know. It's just really hard right now to do that because everything is down. So if you invest in something, you're probably going to lose. But had you invested in Goblin Town and you put an ETH in there, you know, you put $2,000 right now. That's what one ETH is. You put $2,000, you're probably able to get a crap ton, like a lot of Goblin Town mints. What would you say, 10, 20 of them? Probably. Yeah. Probably like 10, 20 mints. And it's worth, you know, $4,000 right now. So you could have literally turned $2,000 to $40,000 or $2,000 to $80,000.
So how's that OpenSea looking?
So I'm looking at the trends over the past 30 days. Basically, the amount of users that are actively involved in OpenSea is down 15%. Same thing with the amount of volume. It's down 25%. And the average price, I guess the sell point per project is like $1,000 compared to it used to be close to $2,000 per, you know, purchase of a NFT or whatever. So all those indicators, all those metrics suggest bear market, suggests a recession in the space.
How's the stock market dude right now compared to crypto?
Oh, here's the good. Yeah, here's the hot take, bro. So there used to be a one-on-one correlation with crypto market.
Stocks are horrible.
Yeah, there used to be a trend, right? It was a one-on-one a relationship where the stock market goes up, crypto market goes up. Where stock market goes down, crypto market goes down. But that actually switched for the first time a couple of days ago, 3, 4, 5 days ago, where the stock market started pumping for the first time in a while. Bitcoin went down an additional couple percentage points. So it's the first time in a very long time where that decoupling happened, where it's no longer that one-on-one relationship. Right. What does that, I guess, what do you think about when I tell you this?
It could be a couple of things. Well, and my knowledge is only in the growth sector, so not in anything else stocks-wise, so just growth stocks. Growth stocks got hammered tremendously. Like, they went down in value, like, either... Let's take SoFi for account. SoFi was at like $18, $19, and at the low, it went down to $5.60, you know? So they got hammered, like it lost, what, a third of its value or something like that? Mm-hmm. Or more, yeah. A third or like three times its value or four times its value it lost. And I did notice when that stock market started going up, because they went up to like $7.60, so a whole $2, but... I just feel like stocks got hammered too. Maybe people got hammered in ETH and in crypto, and they took it out. And they're like, you know what? These stocks are so cheap right now that I'd rather take my crypto money, invest it in the stocks. And then if I know how to write options, I'm going to start making money off of my stocks that I buy at a cheap price. Because, you know, if you know anything about options, you pretty much are writing a contract. Someone buys that contract from you. You take that money. And if that contract doesn't get fulfilled, well, you keep that money and you keep your stock. If it does get fulfilled, then you earn a premium on what you sold your stock for.
Man, so you're able to do that with crypto now. There's a FTX. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but you can short crypto and make a shit ton of money. It's not I don't think we can do it here in Texas, but there's a website, FTX, and a lot of people have been using it, man. I mean, they're familiar, people who are already in crypto, most of the time they're already invested into stocks, so they're aware of how to short and how to make contracts and puts and all that stuff. And I mean, there's money to be made for sure.
Yeah, man, every time you get involved in options and shorting and pumping, there's always money to be made. I think, you know, if I was invested in FTX and doing those option calls, I'd be putting puts currently. It's not looking too hot, bro.
Screwing the retail investor, bro. Yeah. So let's finally get into it, you guys. Let's get into your VCon journey that you guys had. I know you guys were looking forward to it. I didn't get an invite. I mean, it's all good.
We invited you.
Yeah, we totally did.
You know, but. You know, people have work and responsibilities, things that they have to take care of. So we totally understand. But now that we went through this experience, we cannot let you miss the next one, buddy. You need to come with us.
Yeah, like, man.
It's not an option for you not to go.
Yeah, no. It's seeing you guys, you know, post pictures and stuff, you guys hanging out with other people, me seeing the Twitter spaces going on, people discussing, like, what was going down. It looked like a really fun event. And I definitely wouldn't want to miss the next one, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. I think Gary V did a phenomenal job on VCon 2022. I mean, think about it. We were beta testing the first major crypto NFT convention worldwide. And Gary V undersold it and over-delivered.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's one person in all of VCon that was like, eh, this wasn't worth it.
Bro.
Everybody changed after VCon. I think so.
Yeah. It was like all the little different areas that you could go to, the access that you had to all these wonderful people, because with the whole space and the crowd that really follows Gary Vee, is people who are positive in nature, people who are, you know, entrepreneurial, people who want to grind, people who are working towards it. And you meet some of them who have actually gone through and made it, and they're still there supporting Gary and supporting regular people who are on that same journey. So it's like you meet people who are on different levels of the journey that you're on.
Raul, can you, for the audience who doesn't know much about what VCon is, why is VCon important, or like how did that kind of come about originally?
So VCon was a convention that Gary V offered as a real life event to the people who purchased his VFriends collection, V1, the first iteration of VFriends. And it was something for Gary, like, to give value and confidence to the people with an NFT, because, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, well, what's an NFT? It's just a damn picture. But he was like letting them know, like, NFTs are actually utility based. And for you to believe in me, I'm going to give you 3 years to this wonderful conference where we have the top people, where we have Logan Paul, where we have all these celebrities, Mila Kunis, Wyclef, Performances, Miguel, people who who are influential.
Spike Lee, Jim Quick, you had Kevin Smith, you had, let's see, who else? Steve Aoki was there.
Steve Aoki.
You had Deepak Chopra, which is that philosopher at this point. You had, man, all these TLC, Wyclef Jean, Miguel, you had Snoop Dogg, you had Cordell, you had
Champ, Snoop Dogg's son.
Champ Medici.
Blue the Tiger.
Seth Green.
Like, so many people that you actually had the chance to interact with. We took pictures with Snoop Dogg's son, Champ, also known as Cordell, Blue the Tiger.
You know, and I think it's kind of good that I didn't go, because, you know, now I get to ask you guys questions from somebody who wasn't there. And, you know, you're pretty much going to sell me VCon. Like, why would I even want to go to VCon? So, you know, my first question, like, how was the environment? Because knowing that it was only, what, 10,000 people that were able to attend that?
I think 6,000 in total went.
That's about six.
Yeah. So how did, I mean, that's a small niche of community, which I'm sure feels amazing compared to like these music festivals that have like hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
This is an event where it was exclusively to pretty much VFriends holders or the ticket holders.
Right.
How did that community feel, you know, being surrounded by people who are interested in into the same
entity? I think my interpretation might be a little bit different than Raul's, right? Because Raul is fully invested in this whole community. He always has been. While I never really cared for Gary Vee, I never really cared for VFriends. You know, it's an NFT project, and obviously I care for it because it's, you know, one of the top NFT projects, but did I genuinely care about the community or all of that? The answer was no going into there, right? But, man, I've been saying this the second that I left VCon, and it was totally worth all the money I put in to go there. I felt that that community was the most positive, most hyped. Everybody was trying to make each other succeed. There was no negativity. There was no ill intent. It was such a solid niche community where everybody was trying to help each other succeed. And that was so contagious, where you have a paradigm shift where you're like, wow, why do I not have a community back at home, Tag 'em Rec Crew, where, you know, where it's all being positive. It's all like hyping each other up. It's all everyone trying to help each other succeed without any type of envy or without any type of ill intent or without any type of negativity, man. That feeling is just so goddamn contagious that you walk out with momentum to do better.
Yeah. I guess, like, just another thing to add on to what you were saying, like, there wasn't any sort of, I'm doing this for you, so you need to give me something back.
Correct.
Like, that was the main thing, because even between friends and family and the way the society is, if you do something for someone, you're usually doing it because you're expecting something back from them. And here it's like, what can I do to help you? Because I want to help you get better, and hopefully throughout this journey, I get better too. But it's not just, it's not about me. It's about you.
Right.
And like, you just like push it forward, and it's a whole community doing it for each other.
So I was thinking about that when I came back, maybe 2-3 days out. I was like, well, maybe it was just convention, and it's kind of like going on vacation. And you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I wish I could do this every day. Was I in the honeymoon phase? And I was really contemplating that, and I think the answer is no, because people are still actively involved in Twitter spaces, and everyone's still hyping each other up, and everyone's still letting everyone know, here is my goal. And the whole community is like, have you thought about this? How can I help you with this part? Oh, I have this one person that could help you with this. So the community, the niche community in the V friend space is so goddamn close-knit. It's just a beautiful thing to observe and to be a part of, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, that's, man, that's great to hear. It definitely intrigues me. Like, I definitely would love to go to that next VCon. My next question would be, how was, well, before I go on to the next question, it's funny, I saw the there was a video some guy made in VCon, and they were like, so what are you doing? And they're like, we're building. Did you see that? Did you see that meme? No. So they were making fun of, it's kind of like just like a video somebody made on TikTok. And he was like, so, you know, so what are you doing here? And then they would do like, oh, we're building. And then he had a group of people. What are you guys doing here? It's like, we're building, which I thought was hilarious, because I'm sure everybody there is, you know, working on something, has a bright future ahead of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, definitely. What I would say too about the people at VCon and why people need to go, and especially people who want to be entrepreneurial, or people who just who want more, people who are ambitious, people who are kind, people who are still looking for their passion, those who are already passionate. I just think that you need to be in the community, because everyone here is trying, and not everyone here knows exactly where they're going. Right? Like, we don't know exactly where we're going, where our efforts are going to lead us. But what we are finding out, though, is that as we go through this journey and we try and we let our peers know that we're trying and this is the goal that we have, our peers and our community from VFriends are going to be giving us support, positivity, resources, and attention and help. And that's the beautiful thing, because that's hard to come by. Like, I was in the spaces, I've been interacting in the spaces. Now more people are starting to know me. They're starting to really like me as an individual, because they hear who I am as a person through the spaces. And I let them know that I'm doing a podcast, and they're like, hey, well, have you tried doing this? I'm like, hey, well, I know that you spoke to Blue the Tiger, or you spoke to Andy. Like, have you done an online podcast before? And do you know how to properly record them and how to get them set up? If not, this is what I do with my company that I'm podcasting. I think you should do this. And also hit me up later on direct messages. I can like help you set your stuff up so that you get those podcasts the right way. So like that's without me having to try, as long as I say, then I already have a bunch of people wanting to help.
Yeah, it just goes to show that the VFriend community and the network that you develop at VCon is worth way more than the ticket and the flight itself, because, man, those relationships that you develop are going to pay off exponentially over the life of whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish in the crypto NFT space.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard the spaces with that tomato.
Yeah.
It was this woman.
That right? One chick, yeah.
And I don't know if you heard the part where she said she had seen someone at the airport and their name was Adrian. And it was the Adrian that we knew that right. Stayed at our hotel.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could talk about it, but I felt like you have a better explanation of it. So you okay, say it, bro.
Just real quick. So, because I don't want to hog the mic. I want to hear you guys talk. But so pretty much we met a guy from Houston. His name is Adrian. So
it's my boy Adrian.
Yep. Shout out Adrian. We were at Blue the Tiger. We were at the front fence, just listening to her, you know, recording, taking pics, having a good time, jamming. She was DJing. And then the guy, he's like, "Hey, do you know who that is?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's Blue the Tiger." He's like, "Oh, I'm Adrian." And then we introduce ourselves. He's like, and then we found out that we're all from Houston. And I was like, "Oh, that's what's up. That's dope.
Yeah, yeah.
That's dope." So anyways, I was in a Twitter space with this woman, and she's like a project manager for this project called Elevate. And we're speaking, and then she mentions that she was at the airport with this guy, you know, his name was Adrian, and he had to stay, you know, because he had lost his wallet, all this other stuff had happened. And then I was like, "Wait,
we know him.
Wait, Adrian from Houston?" And you know, she's like, "Yeah." He's like, and I was like, "He just stayed at my hotel like yeah. yesterday. Like,
he slept with me.
He slept with us. Like,
he was in the same bed as
yeah,
I was.
Yeah, exactly." And so, like, we both knew Adrian, which is freaking ridiculous, right? I just hop into space, and we happen to know the same person, and we have all this story about what had happened, and you know, his misfortunes towards the end of Econ, but. Luckily, everything got taken care of, and yeah, that's just how it's like in the space.
So you know, while you guys were there, did you guys come across a lot of people wanting to create NFT projects? Was that a thing there?
I think everybody was trying to
find their lane.
Find their lane. I agree. Speak on that, bro.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people who are new to the NFT space, and they're excited, right? Because it's a brand new community. Everyone's hype. It's all positivity. So it's very infectious to be a part of it. But everyone wants to – they don't know exactly what they want to do. So everyone is just trying to find their way. We know we're extremely early, but we also know that we have to start doing our work and tasting everything. Excellent. So that we're able to eventually find something where it's going to be our lane and we're going to fit. And Snoop Dogg in that panel talked about it. It was four people up there in one of the panels. Do you remember that panel?
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what I was going to talk about. The keyword, find your lane. It's not – Snoop Dogg didn't say that. It was Chapman Dichie, which is Snoop Dogg's son. He was like – it is a very superficial understanding to think about Web3 as, oh, I'm just going to create an NFT or I'm just going to create a cryptocurrency. This is a whole new industry that has thousands of jobs and thousands of roles that we haven't even thought of or contemplated thoroughly. So, and that's where Find Your Lane kind of comes into play. It's that there's still so much need and so many niches within the Web3 community that not everyone has established themselves in the space, and you just got to find your lane.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, because just for the I'd say the past year is really where the Web3 space has been blowing up, and it just leaves so much room out there, like you said, for stuff to be created. There's a bunch of niches out there that nobody has even established yet or figured out. So, I mean, that's a cool thing that you guys were able to hang out with people trying to find them, I guess, sort of like an NFT retreat. It's kind of like a retreat, right? I mean, everyone's there exactly. Trying to find themselves. And so... How was it meeting Gary Vee? Because I know Raul, I know you love this guy, dude. Like, I want to know, like, what were you able to tell him whenever you met him? I saw you took a picture with him.
Yeah. Man, this is amazing. This whole experience, this whole last year, you know. How did this happen to me? You know, I always think, how did this happen? Like, what did I do to deserve this? Like, is it just right place at the right time? And am I just like some lucky freaking person? Have I put enough work? You know, is it validation from the universe that I've done enough work and I deserve to be here? Is it like a push forward? Like, keep going, man. You can do more. You know, because if you compare what we're doing to like what one man like Elon Musk is doing, like that's like the pinnacle of like doing shit and your potential and using your skills to better something in this world. And I'm just like, fuck, man, like, what did I do? But I'm just so grateful that I'm here. And I've been a fan of Gary Vee for a very long time now, like 7-8 years. And I would have never imagined, like, yo, I'm going to meet Gary Vee or yo, I'm going to be part of Gary Vee's community, or yo, I'm going to own top characters and rarities of his NFTs that are worth a bunch of money. Like, I would have never imagined that. And then I would never have imagined that by doing so, it would have changed my life monetary wise, where I wasn't that comfortable with like a single income, just myself purchasing a home, let alone a $250,000 or $300,000 home. But because of Gary Vee and my play, my conviction and his work ethic and his success, that I was able to purchase a $500,000 home and change my life and effectively change the life of my family, the ones that I love. So like the outreach that Gary Vee has is immense. It's crazy. It's insane. And I had an empathy bottle. We skipped the line, you know. I just
gonna... What's an empathy bottle?
It's a wine. It's a wine bottle that Gary Vee released with his company called Empathy Wine. I don't know if it's his dad's company too, but probably a partnership, something like that. But I had it there to get signed, and I also had my my skunk, my diamond skunk, which is like a Meta Relics canvas. And we finally got to be able to go up where he was signing things because the line was insane. It was crazy. We ended up skipping, honestly. We weren't going to wait there all day, like all these people. Some people waited all day and didn't get anything, bro.
Yeah, there was definitely people waiting 8 hours and didn't even get the opportunity to meet Gary Vee.
The line wasn't made well. Like, it wasn't people who were organizing it or keeping it, you know, functional. So, like, it would go, people would be coming in from each side, from the back. So, it was very hard. But anyways, we got to the front of the line, dude, and there's Gary Vee, and Alexis is recording. Thank you so much, Alexis. He's recording. And then I go up to him, and I give him the wine bottles, and I'm like, and then I give him the skunk. I'm like, hey, bro, I know it's only supposed to be wine bottles, but can you sign this diamond skunk for me? Like, I really appreciate it. And while he's like, yeah, man, no problem. And while he's signing, I'm like, hey, bro, you changed my life. I'm like, I'm the Diamond Wizard. I just let him know who I was because he's had a couple of interactions with me already as the Diamond Wizard. Like, he knows. And then, like, he extended his hand and I extended mine and we grasped hands. And it was like, we were like, you know.
Like arm wrestling. Like, y'all were like.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like the strength, like the energy was there from both of us. Like, we were like really, really grasping hands.
Eye contact too, bro.
Eye contact. Like, and pretty much me about to tell him something. And it's so crazy because if you listen to our last podcast, I said that you asked me if I was going to be nervous. And I said, no, more so I'm going to be excited and happy. And I've talked to him before, but this time I'm going to tell him where I'm at now compared to where I was when I had talked to him. And that's what I did. I'm like, hey, bro, like, I just, thanks, you changed my life. I was like, thanks to you, I just bought a $500,000 duplex. I moved my brother and his family in the front. I'm in the back. It's going very great for me. And this would not have happened if it wasn't for you. And you absolutely changed my life, man. And I thank you so much. And he was like, yeah, man, it's all love. And he like...
He patted his chest.
His chest. And, you know, he got me, bro. I got my message to him, which I wanted to sincerely thank him from the bottom of my heart. Like, no one has changed my life the way that you have changed my life.
Yeah. That was a beautiful moment, man. And I'm kind of glad that I recorded all of that, bro. The video itself shows all that emotion, man. It really does.
I think that's a great thing about Gary Vee is that most the way he explains things is all through emotion. I mean, all his NFTs are you know, empathy and, you know, what else does he have out there? Kindness and
ambitious.
Like courage.
And you can see that energy from him is that he's giving you his emotion. Like, he's showing it in a physical manner, what his NFTs portray is all emotion.
No, you're definitely right. And he was talking about it a lot at VCon, where he was like, you know, when you think of the legacy of V Friends, it's not about you making money. It's not about, you know, a get rich quick scheme. No, the whole point of VFriends is to be the best version of yourself, is to have these courage, have ambition, have all of this for you to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve. That is the utility of VFriends, not the dollar amount of what,
right,
you know, a certain NFT is worth. It's really kind of, love that take.
It's kind of like if you join the VFriends community, you're subscribing to content and media that is instilling positivity and all these wonderful traits that are going to help you succeed versus all the other stuff that you're seeing on media that is pumping you full of negativity and bad traits that are not going to help you succeed.
Yeah. No, I mean you have to literally repeat that. In this world, is so much negativity bringing you down. And I think we're all resilient. I think all three of us are resilient and we don't let that stuff kind of bother us, right? But here's the philosophical change, the paradigm shift that I had is that I knew the world was negative. I knew that in my day-to-day life, there's negativity always coming at me. But you become so numb to the negativity where it doesn't bother you, but you know that it's constantly there. The paradigm shift was going to VCon, and the exact opposite happened, where everything was so goddamn positive that it became contagious, that it gave you that momentum, that it counteracted all that negativity, and you're like, damn, like, I want to do something. Before VCon, I was just, you know, this person, but now that VCon is over, I want to be the best version of myself. I want to pick up reading. I want to pick up, do more. I want to, you know, all the stuff in my life that doesn't provide value. I don't want to do that anymore. I want the best version of myself. I want to create. I want to build. And man, it was just a beautiful paradigm shift moment going there.
So pushing on forward, like, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to create a project? Do you want to, you know, what are your future goals now that you've gone to VCon? Like, what did that open up for you?
Yeah, for me, it's more of I've always wanted to do certain things. There's two things I've wanted to manifest, maybe even one thing that I want to manifest. For me, is I want to get paid US dollars while living in Mexico, like Cancun. And the way that I want to manifest that is through, like, coding, is through,
a freelancer?
Working remotely. Mm. That's what I want to manifest. Like, straight up, if someone came up to me and said, hey, I'll pay you $100,000 a year and you could work wherever you want, I'd be in Mexico right now, bro. I'd be done with the United States. Like, no bullshit, straight up. And so, you know, I've been saying that for 3-4 years. I've been trying to do coding for the past 3-4 years. But when I came back, I guess that momentum really hit me where, you know, I bought a Kindle, an Amazon Kindle. I'm 100 pages in on a coding. I'm 100 pages in on another book where it's self-help, self-improvement. And, you know, I'm taking this shit serious, because if you don't manifest it, if you continue to procrastinate, you're going to wake up, you're going to be 50, 60 years old, and you're going to fucking realize that you didn't do what you set out to do. And I don't want to be that person, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, that's very well said. And I feel like your energy on that, you know, I know we talked a few days ago, but that energy that you gave on that opened my eyes too, and kind of gave me the same thing. Like, I need to stop procrastinating, and the only way that things are going to change is if you do it now, you start to make the change that you want to see.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm so happy that that happened to you both. And for me, same thing. I need to work harder. But what's really been more apparent to me is that people are pushing me to start singing again and go back to my artistry. And that's just what it is. Like, I have to at least try. Like, for 2 to 3 years, like, I don't have to become famous or rich off of singing. But even if I can get to a level where I'm performing at different places in Houston and having fun with it, like, I have to try and do that. Because if not, I won't be happy. Maybe it's not my end goal being an artist or a singer, but I at least have to fucking try and see.
Awesome, bro. Yeah. So I was having a conversation with Justin Martinez, right? And it was kind of eye-opening for me, and I kind of wanted to ask this question to you. Is he was saying, like, in his life, he doesn't create anymore. His whole life, like, there's no creativity anymore. He doesn't create anything, whether it's music, whether it's lyrics, whether it's drawing, whether it's just something where you, with your hands, you create something tangible. And I was thinking in my life, I'm in the same fucking boat where currently I don't create anything. And so my question to you is, like, do y'all create anything in your life?
Yeah, bro. We're construction. Create all day.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, yeah, you saying that, like, so yeah, I create at work, but without a purpose for myself. Right. I'm doing it for someone else, and I do want to create, but I want to create it for myself and for my safe, you know, keep for my safe keeping of mind. Like, I want to be creating for me.
So what is that, bro?
I mean, well, you know, you talk about coding, and I actually talked to Lauren about this. I want to get, growing up as a child, my dream was always to get into coding, which is crazy because when we were children, like, it would have been the perfect time for us to get into coding. But, you know, I feel like the resources just weren't, it wasn't there for us at the time. But I really wish that I would have gotten into that. But I'm definitely, my eyes have definitely opened seeing you guys talk about that yesterday. And I told Lauren today, like, hey, I think I'm going to go, I want to go to school, or I want to learn these things because I want to change my future. I'm tired personally being in construction. I want to just create something for myself, and I'm completely done working for the man.
Bro, I'm so proud of you for having that realization. I'm so happy for you for making that commitment to yourself, and I hope that you actually take it to heart and actually try to achieve that, bro. I really fucking do.
That's what's up, man. I'm proud of both of y'all, man. I'm glad y'all had that conversation. and for me, I guess the question, because I feel like that has always been something that I really like, which is like creating and performing and being in front of people, like having people clap and all that. And you know, just like kind of like give affirmations to the creation or the performance that you gave and that was bred from you. So like, that's always been a thing. And also maybe I was thinking when y'all were saying that, like, maybe that's like a human type of fucking thing, right, that we need.
Yes.
We are some cavemen, like, yes, from backdated, from all the way back there. Like, we need to fucking create and do something. And our form of creation is different and unique to each one of us.
Yes.
But there is a form for each one of us that we need to create something. And if we don't, it could drive us mad or not like happy or not like fulfilled. But if I do a creation where I'm dancing or I'm at a musical or I'm singing or I'm acting, it's something that I am creating that is coming from my soul, that is coming from these atoms and particles that we are made of. Because, you know, we're part of this whole galaxy type of thing. You know, it's like kind of like a combustion type of thing that creating is, you know, crashing of atoms and all these different things. Maybe that's like in us. And if we don't take care of that, then we can't live a successful and happy life.
Yeah, it's funny. We went from discussing NFTs to like an intervention, dude.
Hey, man. I'm loving this, bro.
It's beautiful, man. It's a good thing to discuss. Another question I had for you guys, a big thing for me, like, how was the organization, like, was VCon organized? You know, were you able to freely roam things? Like, did they have things labeled, or this is where you go here, this is where you go there?
So, the only thing that I would criticize is the lines, bro. So they had a limited edition merch for, you know, 600 hoodies that were freaking amazing, right? And, I mean, you're talking about 6,000 people trying to go after 600 hoodies, man. Oh, man. It got, like, people were close to fighting.
Were those the primitive hoodies?
It was the, there were, like, hollows. There were spectacular hoodies with all the V friends on them.
Oh, shit.
I mean, you know, you're into streetwear. Yeah, if you saw that hoodie, you'd be like, all right. I would cop that. Like, no joke. Well, anyway, you know, So the space, especially the VFriend space, is about inclusivity. And there's definitely people who are disabled, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, imagine they were in front of the line. And there was the 10% of VFriends that, you know, aren't positive. They bum rushed the shit out of them, bro. And just, you know, should have been a better system in place.
Yeah.
In terms of all the, it was a little messy. I ain't gonna lie, right? Like, there was different areas, you know, let's say there was side stages where they would talk about ledgers, or there was like, you know, special conference rooms where, you know, I don't know, NFT projects were being dealt with. It wasn't intuitive. That's the word I'm going to use. It wasn't intuitive where I was like, okay, I want to learn more about Ledger. I look up. It's like, where's Ledger? You're like, I don't know. Okay. You look to the left, to the right, and you're like, where are they? And then you got to ask around, and, you know, one random person will tell you. So it wasn't intuitive, but, you know, yeah. I'm nitpicking at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah, no, but you're right. You're right. It could have been better. Next year, it will be better. You know, because that's one thing that Gary Vee did say. Like, he was like, these motherfuckers let me have the first one, and he's like, and I'm like a champion in a championship fight. Like, you better knock me out the first round, because if you let that champion get another go at another round,
yeah.
He's going to fucking kill it.
Exactly.
And next year, I'm going to fucking kill it. Like, you gave yeah. me one. This is the beta. This is the first. But the next one is going to be fucking crazy. He's like, I have so much experience right. under my belt. All 6,000 people here, like, nothing with positive energy. Like, this is Gary Vee 5.0. Like, you've never met this Gary Vee. Like, you just injected me with so much happiness, so much compassion, so much empathy. Like, you don't know how I feel. Like, this is the first one. I have my family here with me. Y'all don't know how much this means to me. Like, imagine having 6,000 people and people just injecting Gary Vee with, hey, you changed my life. You changed yeah. my family's life. Like, everyone was telling Gary Vee that, all 6,000. Like,
yeah, and you could tell that, you know, his life, I mean, he most likely had a paradigm shift as well.
Like, you think you had one? 6,000 for him.
Yep. Absolutely. And now I think he's going to dedicate his whole life. And he's said it multiple times throughout VCon where for the rest of my life, VFriends is my life. And I'm going to make sure that y'all go to the moon with me. And bro, like.
Yeah, I mean, that dude, that's the beauty of the Web3 space. And I feel like a lot of people still don't realize that. Like, this is a community that everyone can be involved in for the positivity that's needed, you know, that's out there to be spread out. We can all enjoy it and take it in for ourselves and use it to our advantage.
And for the audience who might be thinking like, oh, y'all are kind of sounding cultish, or y'all kind of sounding like an ML, you know, a multi-level marketing scheme. Like, believe me, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you that if I heard someone tell me the exact same thing we're talking about right now, I'd be sketched out. I'd be like, doesn't sound logical. It doesn't sound like, it sounds cultish, but man, so you just genuinely have to experience how positive the community was. And I mean, I think you'll have that paradigm shift as well. And that's coming from me where I'm cynical about these types of things, and I came out a different person, I think.
So how was Minnesota compared to Houston?
Minnesota.
Man, H-Town all day, baby.
H-Town, bro. There's a lot of reasons
yeah.
why Houston. Right. I'll let you discuss the first one because we're thinking about it.
Yeah. So we got on a rail and we're on our way to VCon, and we stop at a stop, and the transportation system is better in Minnesota than yeah. it is in Houston. It's like a straight yeah. shot and it's cheap, so you can really move around. But we stopped at this place called Franklin Street. Bro, and it was sketchy as fuck. Like, yeah. I know Houston is sketch, right? Some right. areas. And I'm used to it. I'm from the fucking hood originally.
Exactly.
But, like, this area was sketch. Like, there were six people in one, like, station sitting down right there.
Uh-huh.
And they all looked like they were doing some crack.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another one where this girl looked like she was knocked out. She was on some dude's lap, and she had, like, a cover over her. Just, like, super sketchy.
Yeah, it smelled like straight piss. Like straight piss. And they didn't look like they were doing crack. They were doing crack because they had like the aluminum foil. And yeah. I mean, they were like shaking, like they were cracking coke heads. It's insane. It was insane.
I don't think I personally give Houston enough credit for how great of a city this is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like Houston's a fucking phenomenal city.
It is.
Not enough great things. Like imagine VCon in Houston. I feel like not a lot of great things like that happen here, and they need to because this is a fucking huge city. And it is phenomenal with the diversity of people that are here.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think Austin is going to get all the cool hype stuff.
Yeah.
Well, for example, Conference 2022, it's another NFT Web 3.0 conference, and it's happening in Austin in like 2 weeks, right?
Or like the pickleball tournament.
Consensus 2022 is what it is.
Yeah.
I wanted to go with y'all, but unfortunately, I'm going to be in Cancun. But man, if y'all have the ability to go, please just go to Consensus 2022 at Austin. It's like two weeks from now.
I'll look. I'll see if I'm not working. But yeah, they're having the pickleball thing over there, the tournament at Austin too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool.
Going back about Minnesota, other things we've kind of noticed is, what did you notice?
Let's talk some good. The fries were good, extremely good.
Oh, dude, the fries were phenomenal. Everywhere we went, it's like you take a bite of the fry and it's super crunchy, and then the initial taste of the fry was phenomenal. It's like fresh, mind-blowing
fresh fries.
It's seasoned, it's well-seasoned fry. You take that one bite and you're like, it's, you know, an orgasm in your mouth.
What's their main dish over there? Like what's their food? Like what do they eat? Is there a specific sort of dish?
Honestly, it was just all American. That's all we burgers. Ate, man. Burgers.
That's all we ate.
Yeah, whoa. Burgers, fries, pizza, just American food. It's
American food. But yeah, what we would say is just the fries are amazing. The way that they fry them, I think.
Yeah.
And I wish we could like steal the recipe and bring it to Houston because we haven't had any fries like those in Houston. Yeah. I must say. Like, honestly.
That's where we're sleeping on Houston, bro. We're the most diverse in like culinary too. So
right,
somebody out there has to have a Minnesota restaurant. We gotta find it.
Yeah, we gotta find it. Find it. Yeah.
You betcha.
Yeah, betcha. Minnesota. it was pretty pricey. One burger with fries was $18-19. Yeah. Everywhere you went, like there wasn't one spot that it wasn't $18-19.
Well, but the cost of living though, there's a little more higher, huh? A little more expensive. Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yes. So their cost of living is more expensive, I would say. Also because they had that stadium built for, I think, billions of dollars that stadium cost for them to build. And also Mall of America, bro. We went there.
Bro, Mall of America. I've always heard it like it's a pop culture kind of thing. Oh, Mall of America, the biggest mall in the United States.
Bro.
Man, pictures and videos don't do it justice of how humongous this goddamn mall is. Like, we hype up the Galleria here like, oh, man, you ain't got shit on this. The Galleria is, you know, primo mint location. Mall of America shits on the Galleria.
Bro, you can literally have a date there from the morning to the nighttime.
Like. It probably takes 2 to 3 days to, like, really explore Mall of America.
How big is it? Like,
bro,
it's like a whole city,
bro.
Pretty much.
Okay, think of Six Flags Astro World, right? Put that shit in a mall, and that's one section of the mall. Then you have four other sections, where another section is a aquarium.
Yeah.
And then there's another section where it's like 20 bars, and then you have another section where it's a bunch of restaurants.
Yeah.
And then to get to the Mall of America, there's a high-speed train that goes throughout the whole city, and you land on Mall of America.
Yeah, bro, they had, like, big-ass Legos built, bro, hung, like, helicopters, but Legos, and, like, Transformer-type things, and ninjas, and they had, like, this mini putt golf, like, place in there as well. They had Verizon, they had literally all the stores are in that place.
Yeah.
They had freaking Bubba Gump shrimp, bro. Like, we should have eaten there. Bro. You know, from Forrest Gump? Yeah. They had that there, too. They had shirt places. They had
everything,
bro.
Everything.
We didn't get to see everything, but it was too big. Like, we would need a couple of days to actually go and explore. But like, imagine going on a date there, dude. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yeah.
So another question is, I saw you guys got your V-Friend shirts made, the Emerald Wizard and the Diamond Wizard.
Uh-huh.
Did people recognize them? Did you guys get compliments on them?
Oh, my God. That's such a good question, bro. Man. I mean, we have grills. I mean, it's like having Off-White or Jordan 1s in a sneaker convention, right? We had grills, and everybody would approach us. We had so much clout that every 2 to 3 minutes, someone would come up to us and be like, oh my God, you own Diamond Wizard? You own Emerald Wizard? And we're like, yeah. I am 1/10 owner of an Emerald Wizard. Yeah.
We didn't have to go that far. Nah, I'm like, yeah, that's the Emerald Wizard, you know? Yeah, bro.
So whose idea was that? Who wanted to get the shirts made?
It just happened coincidentally. Like just spontaneously. We were at Mall of America.
Yeah.
We went into this shop. They had badass stuff in there. And
you're like, I think I brought it up, right?
Yeah, we went in there. You did. We went in there, and he's like, hey, can you make shirts? And he's like, yeah, it takes like five minutes. And it just happened, clicked. Bro. It just happened. And like, yeah, bro, we had so many people, like Alexa said, just coming up to us because they're like, oh, like we be talking and they see the shirt, the Diamond Wizard. The V1, though, was where people were like even more.
Yeah.
Because we were wearing the V2s and we still can get people to come up to us.
Right.
Also, Gary V told Alexis, hey, nice shirts, both of y'all. He was talking to Alexis.
Yeah, so he acknowledged us.
Yeah, so. I guess Alexis didn't know he was talking to him, but
I didn't.
Really. I heard him. He told you he was looking at you. He's like, hey, nice. I like the shirts.
Right.
And then after that, like 20 minutes later, Gary V was walking, and I was like, hey, Gary, how about a picture with the Wizards? And he's like, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Because of the shirts, bro.
And then his security guard, like, he pushed me away.
And I was like, yo.
It's like, bro, I'm an Emerald Wizard.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, bro, he's taking a picture too. Oh, yeah, you got pushed.
I got pushed, bro.
Man, that was funny, bro. That was funny. No, but, like, we'd be talking, and then, like, yo, you own the Diamond Wizard? I'm like, yeah. And like, damn, that's fucking crazy. And like people like bowing like that. It was just crazy, bro.
I mean, what would be the equivalent in a sneaker convention? Like, would it be like original Yeezys or Off-Whites, right? Or
no, I mean, Off-Whites isn't even anything compared to like, if you think about like the original like Yeezys that came out.
Yes, those, man.
The Yeezys, there's like Nike SB too. Yeah. Like Paris's, Freddy Krueger, stuff like that. Because there's only like hundreds of them that were ever made. So they're definitely sought out there. That's cool shit though.
Yeah.
That you guys, I mean, rolled having the Diamond Wizard, dude.
Right.
Is that the top, like pretty much beefing out there?
Top three, right?
You would say? I would, being modest, I would say top five, right, although I do think it's top three.
Yeah.
And also just because, I mean, it's the fucking Wizard. Like, it's the magic dude of the V-Friends IP brand. So, like, and if you see him, he's in the animations, he's one of the ones in the front. He's like, and one of the things that they showed, he was the main one in the front, and then all the
protagonists,
and other people behind him. So exactly. Like, this is the Wizard, this is a magician, the only one in the V Friends realm that's a human, right?
Oh, the only human.
It's like human, but also a different character, like because he's human, but he's a wizard, so he's classified as two things. But he's magic, so it's.
Were you guys able to? Were the celebrities roaming around the areas, like the public? Were you able to interact with the celebrities?
No, they were more in like the talent area. Mm. They probably had a VIP area, but you know, you would catch them once in a while. But for example, Gary V, we caught him like just randomly in a hallway.
Oh shit!
But you know, all the big time celebrities, there's no way Snoop Dogg could have freely walked.
Yeah,
no way, absolutely.
Everybody would have rushed him.
But it's crazy, like people were following Gary V. I mean, that man was never alone. He had 100 people with him everywhere he went.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we actually got to interview Andy, the president of V Friends, and Alexis came in clutch. So we were talking like, hey Andy, what's going on, man? You know, my name's Raul, actually, you know, own the Diamond Wizard, or like we own the Wizards or whatever. But how's VCon? Or like, we would just want to talk to him, and we started talking, and then I was like, hey, well, we actually have a podcast. Would you be down if we can get you on our podcast? He's like, yeah, for sure. He's like, just send me a DM, I'll respond like in a week, and then I'll be on your podcast. And I was like, awesome, man, thank you so much. And I was like, hey man, well, we're here at VCon. What about a little short interview right now?
Yeah.
And he was like, he's like, ah, no, well, I don't have time right now. I'm pretty busy. And I was like, 5 minutes. He's like, ah, no. And then Alexis came in. He's like, okay, 3 minutes. He's like, all right, let's do it.
So we got a good 3 minute interview with him.
Yeah, 3 minute interview.
Yeah.
With the president of VFriends.
Right.
And also we went to the batting cages there at Candy.
Yeah, Candy.
Mm-hmm. I scored a home run, you know. We were talking.
What?
I did. I know the video. Alexis didn't believe. He was like, what? You know. But we talked to these, like, a person in, was it in the business management sector?
One was in the marketing.
Marketing.
And the other one was in business operations of the whole Candy operation. Yeah.
So,
which is cool.
So we were talking to them and we vibed with them and they gave us like
merch.
Candy merch for free because they vibed with us. And they weren't giving it to everybody.
No.
But they liked us.
But we got like 3 hats off of them.
Yeah.
Which, where's the hats at?
I got yours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both of mine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. One's for Thunder.
Okay.
One hat's for Thunder.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate
it. We should wear them,
bro. I was just going to ask, dude. I was like, where the fuck's my merch?
Yeah. Appreciate
it, dude.
I still got to give you the Crypto Junkie shirt. I don't know if you're a small or medium. I think the medium.
Medium? Yeah, I'm a medium. Did y'all rock them, though?
We didn't, bro. No. It was just so much cloud with the wizards.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because after we went out with the first day with the shirts and the amount of people that were just coming up to us, we're like, we can't wear Crypto Junkies because it's better for people to come up to us so that we can connect.
Connect and get content, the interviews.
Get the interviews.
Because if we had a Crypto Junkies shirt and Gary V saw us, he wouldn't have like cared. No. I mean, he would have cared, but no.
But he saw that we fucked with the wizards. He's like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that it was a dope experience. We got to see Gary and take pictures a couple of times with him and interact.
Man, it was kind of destiny, man. There's people out there that were waiting every day and didn't get a chance to interact with Gary Vee. And we would just randomly walk and we spotted him like 4 or 5 different times. Just randomly. I mean, I was literally where you're at right now. That's how far I was from Gary Vee multiple times throughout the whole event. And we just, the Ledger event, right?
Yeah.
We just randomly went to a Ledger event and, you know, a little crowd started developing and we're like, what's happening over there? It's just Gary V chilling. And
that's when he noticed you.
Yeah, that's when he noticed me, right? And so I got up on the stage of the Ledger because there's a little stage for people to have a conversation. And I mean, I was in the main stage while Gary V was like next to me, walking up into the stage as well. So it was just interesting that I guess, you know, we got good luck and Destiny just brought Gary V relatively close to us consistently throughout every day. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Definitely, it was so cool meeting all the people there. But I think, did you kind of get everything out that you had to for VCon? Because I think we can kind of wrap it up now. We've had a pretty long episode.
Yeah, it's pretty long. I think we're good unless you had any other questions, Thunder. But I mean, I guess at the end of the day, to summarize everything, I mean, I will forever, I think I'm a different person coming out of VCon.
Yep.
I think, you know, I'm more proactive and I think I'm going to achieve what I got to achieve because of the momentum and the how contagious the atmosphere and the culture was at VCon. That's my overall summary.
Yeah. And one thing that I want to say is that I want more people that we care about to come to VCon next year. And if it's not next year, then the next year after that. But just to have people experience it and being in that group, I think it's going to be completely amazing. And like we're so early, so there's so much to achieve. There's so much to do. Are you ready to wrap it up?
Oh, yeah, we're ready to wrap it up. Last little thing is make sure to get your passport ready because the assumption is that it's going to be in Toronto. So let's get that shit going, bro.
That would be crazy if it's Toronto. Some people are saying St. Louis now, but if it's in Toronto, that would be amazing, dude. Yeah. Like I haven't been, that would be a crazy experience. But yeah, a little more hurdles to get there. But yeah.
Well, audience, thank you for listening to Crypto Junkies episode 11. We appreciate you being fans of us and listening to content to better your life and better our lives as well. Raul?
Thank you for having us, and we'll see you next time.
Boop.
Bow.
Beep.
Let's go.
junkies NFT talk, turn it on. Crypto junkies NFT talk, that's my show. Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move.